It's 8:01. This is KBNF Regional News for Wednesday, March 25th. I'm Patricia Naft. Last weekend at a town hall meeting in Paonia hosted by Senator Carrie Donovan and Representative Millie Hamner, a representative from the Department of Local Affairs gave a presentation. Elise Ackerman-Castleberry is the regional director for DOLA. Her region stretches from Hinsdale County all the way to Moffitt County in the northwest corner of the state. She presented some historical information about DOLA and talked in particular about Ready Grants, a pool of money that goes towards developing struggling economies in rural areas.
The goal of Ready is specifically to help the county, help Delta County, identify and support entities that are growing jobs. It's to bring jobs to the state, to the county specifically.
The idea is that with money from the state, a business can build, say, the expansion it needs to hire on 3 more workers, who in turn will earn much more money than the original grant. They've been steadily awarding grants all over the state, including several in Delta County.
We have granted just over $431,000 in Delta County to mostly local businesses, and it really varied. So we have a couple of manufacturing companies that have received funding. We have a couple of agricultural operations that have received funding, especially in the specialty foods area. And we have a couple of mining-based companies that are looking to diversify as well that have received some funding.
Due to the way that the Ready program came about, it's set to run out of money soon. House Bill 1177 tries to stop that. It's in the Colorado House right now, and it would refund the grants for another year. It's sponsored by one of the event's hosts, Senator Carrie Donovan, as well as Representative Eulyn Willett of Grand Junction. The U.S. Department of Energy is piloting a program that trains military personnel for careers in the solar industry. The Reach for the Sun course is designed for people exiting the service and returning to civilian life. Paonia-based Solar Energy International is leading 2 of the 3 pilot programs. KBNF's Laura Palmisano speaks to Kathy Schwartz, the executive director of SEI, an educational nonprofit, about the project.
Tell me about Solar Energy International's program where it is training military personnel for careers in the solar industry.
Solar Energy International was selected by the Department of Energy to lead pilot programs on military bases. So the first pilot we did was at Camp Pendleton, which is a Marine base near San Diego, and we trained 20 transitioning sailors and Marines to work within the solar industry. We just began our second pilot at Fort Carson, which is an Army base near Colorado Springs, and we're training 25 soldiers.
Talk about the curriculum of the program, how long it lasts, and what exactly the soldiers are learning and how they will be able to maybe get jobs in the solar field after they leave the military.
So we are training the soldiers how to design and install solar electric systems, otherwise known as PV systems. So the training that we're doing at Fort Carson is a 6-week training. They're going to go through some basics of residential wiring and construction, and then we go right into how to design and install a PV system. 50% of the class is hands-on, so we'll do a little bit in the classroom, and then we'll reinforce it with hands-on. The great part about this program is that when it ends, all the participants are interviewed by 5 of the leading solar companies.
The program at Camp Pendleton recently wrapped up. What did SEI learn from it, and how is it tailored the program for Fort Carson?
The Camp Pendleton experience was unbelievable. We had just a fantastic cohort of participants, and all 20 of them were offered jobs at the end. However, what we learned was that 4 weeks at 8 hours a day of training is a lot for these guys. So what we're doing differently at Fort Carson is we're expanding it to a 6-week time period. We're going a lot slower and really having opportunities to continually review the content to make sure that they have a very strong foundation.
That was Laura Palmisano speaking to Kathy Schwartz, the executive director of SEI. The Department of Veteran Affairs is making some changes to a relatively new rule. Last year, the U.S. Congress passed a law that allows veterans living more than 40 miles from VA care to seek treatment at a local non-VA center. This is Paul Sweeney with the Grand Junction VA Medical Center.
Veterans who lived more than 40 miles straight-line distance from a VA point of care could seek primary care and some specialty care in their communities using the Choice Card. What we were encountering, though, early in the program was a lot of veterans lived, 50, 60, sometimes even 120 miles via road, but were within the 40-mile radius.
So now the rule has been changed. 40 miles are no longer as the crow flies, but the driving distance. Sweeney estimates that hundreds, if not thousands, of local veterans will now have this option. He does say, though, that the local provider has to agree to accept the VA's card and that this new change may take a while to implement. And finally, Colorado's latest review forecast was good news for lawmakers, showing a healthy economy and more money for the state budget. As part of our Capital Conversation series, Benta Berkland talks to reporters about what it means for the state budget and other bills pending before the State House.
Joining us, we have Ivan Moreno, a reporter with the Associated Press, and Ed Sealover with the Denver Business Journal. Ivan, nothing drastically different in the revenue forecast, and it shows that the state still has a robust economy and there's growth.
That's true. Nothing drastically changed from December, but lawmakers are looking at some potential for some big changes, some big obligations as a result of the improving economy. We are now at a time where we are looking at Tabor refunds, something that lawmakers haven't had to deal with in more than a decade.
And so, as Ivan mentioned, there's more money coming into the state, but the state has these additional obligations, so it's not like this huge boon for a lot of legislation that's pending.
No, absolutely not. I mean, at this point, it's almost a one-in-one-out theory as to what's coming in. Not only that, there are some really interesting triggers in the state budget right now. 2009 law said that once personal income grows by 5% in any given year, a certain amount of money has to be transferred from the general fund budget to the transportation budget, and it looks like it's going to hit that this year. But there's also all these little triggers that say, well, it has to be this amount if it's the Tabor refund is such and such, and it has to be non-existent if the Tabor refund is such and such. And so right now we're looking at a scenario where the general fund could lose $102 million to transportation, it could lose $204 million to transportation, or it could lose nothing to transportation. So this does two things. One, it really screws up the idea of what we're going to do with transportation. I mean, there hasn't been a general fund transfer to road funding in over 5 years right now. Everyone's looking forward to this, and there's a possibility it could be small, big, or non-existent.
Thanks. That was Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press and Ed Sealover with the Denver Business Journal. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
Capital coverage is supported by KBUT and the town of Mount Crested Butte's Soul Train Night, annual dance party and celebration of funk and soul, Friday, March 27th in Crested Butte. Costumes encouraged. Tickets and more at kbut.org.
Stay tuned for Jeff and the Wednesday Morning Music Mix. We really appreciate your support this morning for KVNF News. I'm Patricia Naft.